Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. This is Father Steve, and today, of course, is Good Friday, the day on which we remember the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus on the cross for us and for our salvation. As I mentioned in yesterday's podcast, I would like, over the course of the days of the sacred Triduum, each day to reflect on a traditional hymn or reading of some kind that is connected with each one of these days and the themes that we remember and celebrate. So yesterday, for Holy Thursday, we talked about the hymn written by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century, Pange Lingua. Today I'd like to talk about a hymn that was written much, much earlier and which has enjoyed a great place in the history of the Church in its hymns and songs, and it's called Vexilla Regis. Now, we may not be overly familiar with this hymn. It is typically used most often during what is traditionally called Passion Tide. Passion Tide being the time between the fifth Sunday of Lent and the start of the sacred Triduum on Holy Thursday. And so during that time at evening prayer, monks and then, of course, the priests as well would sing this hymn, Vexilla Regis, at the beginning of evening prayer. The hymn is all about the mystery of the cross, and that's why I think even though it's more often tied to Palm Sunday, it's very appropriate to talk about on Good Friday as well, because in this hymn, its author is envisioning with poetic license the mystery and the event of Jesus having been crucified and what is really happening in that moment on the spiritual level. Okay. Now, like I said, this hymn is very ancient. It goes all the way back to the 500s. The hymn Vexilla Regis, which again is concerning the mystery of the cross, was written by a 6th century poet whose name was Venantius Fortunatus. Okay, Venantius Fortunatus. And what happened was, during his lifetime, the emperor, the Roman emperor at the time, Justin II, had sent a relic of the true cross to the queen of Poitiers in Western Gaul, which would be today in the area of France. And a relic of the true cross means it would have been a sliver or a very small little piece of the wood of the actual cross on which Jesus was crucified and died for us. The church still does possess many such relics of the true cross of the Lord, that cross, of course, having been splintered and broken over time. And so as he was, Justin II, the emperor was sending a relic of the true cross to this queen for the founding of a new abbey in her territory, okay? And so the poet Fortunatus wrote three poems for the ceremony to receive that relic, okay? One of which was the Vexilla Regis, which is a processional hymn in honor of the crucified Christ. It's not a mournful hymn. It does have a minor tone in its melody, but the words are actually very triumphant, very triumphalistic even, speaking about Christ the victor, the king who reigns from the cross, from the tree. So even though, of course, on Good Friday, we are sorrowful in remembering what our Lord suffered for us, his emphasis, Fortunato's emphasis in writing this poem is to say, yes, yes, but in the mystery of the cross, even though Jesus is suffering greatly and has died, it's also his moment of greatest victory because he has conquered sin and death. Okay? Now, I'd like to sing for you just the first verse in English of Vexilla Regis, because it's a beautiful, beautiful chant. And we may or may not have heard it before. And either way, of course, that's fine. It's something we could easily find on iTunes or Amazon or whatever if we were interested in getting an audio copy of it and hearing some monks sing it. But I'll sing here for you the first verse, okay? The royal banners forward go, the cross shines forth in mystic glow. where he in flesh our flesh who made. Our sentence bore, our ransom paid. Okay, now there's 7 verses of the hymn Vexilla Regis Prudeunt. And once again, on the parish website, you probably saw, right above this podcast is a link where you can click to see the texts of the different hymns and readings for these Sacred Triduum podcasts. So if you were to click on that and then scroll down to Good Friday, you would see there Vexilla Regis Prudeunt. And the original Latin is there for those who might be interested in that. And if you scroll down, then there's an English translation of those Latin verses. And that's what I'd like to look at here for the remainder of the podcast today. Okay? Now, again, this is a poem. Hymns, of course, are made up of lyrics or poems, which are then set to music. And so the symbolism is incredibly rich and deep. And it would take, again, multiple podcasts to be able to break that all down and pull apart all of its different mysteries and symbols. I'd like to just mention a couple things. If we're looking at that English translation for Vexilla Regis, in the first verse, the royal banners forward go, the cross shines forth in mystic glow, where he, in flesh who made, our sentence bore, our ransom paid. Okay? The one thing I would point out is the royal banners forward go. What is he referring to there? Well, remember at that time in the 5th, 6th century, the Roman Empire still kind of existed. It was on its way out, but the Holy Roman Empire was on its way in, and the cross, the sign of the cross, would often be on the front of royal banners, processions with the king, processions with the military. The banners at the front of the possession of the procession would have the image of that kingdom. And of course, being Christian, the cross would be on those banners. And so he imagines here, the poet does, that as the Lord is crucified for us, it is a triumphant procession in which Jesus is leading us back to God the Father, okay? And then if you look in the second verse, where deep for us the spear was dyed, life's torrent rushing from his side to wash us in that precious flood where mingled water flowed and blood, right? Where deep for us the spear was dyed. Of course, what that means there is dyed in the sense of, you know, to make something of a different, make it a different color, to dye a shirt, okay? The spear is dyed red because it's been thrust deep into the side of Jesus and his blood has made it red, right? Life's torrent rushing from his side. Well, the symbolism there, of course, is that God is the one who gives us life and Jesus is God. And so as his lifeblood is being poured out, that is also the source of our life. And so there's also then, you could say, a connection to the Eucharist, right? His blood gives us spiritual life, okay? And then in the third verse, fulfilled is all that David told in true prophetic song of old. Amidst the nations, God, said he, hath reigned and triumphed from the tree. Okay, two things there. First of all, again, the tone of this poem, right? Talking about the cross, but not in a particularly sad or sorrowful way, but in a triumphant way. Jesus has reigned as king and triumphed from the tree. And here he uses the word tree to refer to the cross, right? Which kind of brings up an ancient legend or tradition about the connection of Jesus's cross to the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which proved to be Adam and Eve's downfall, right? That Jesus now is crucified on a tree in order to make amends for Adam and Eve who reached out to a tree in order to bring sin into the world, okay? And then he goes into 3 verses, verses 4, 5, and 6, in which, as a poet, he's using some poetic license to speak to the cross itself as if the cross were a person, right? So, O tree of beauty, tree of light, O tree with royal purple bright, elect on whose triumphal breast these holy limbs should find their rest. Again, beautiful poetic imagery there. He's talking about the tree of the cross, Jesus's cross, right? And he says, elect on whose triumphal breast, so think of the center of the tree, right? The chest of the tree. These holy limbs, now there he's referring to Jesus's arms. You know how sometimes we talk about limbs as arms? So it's a play on words there. Should find their rest, his arms resting against the limbs, resting against the arms of the tree. He's using those words interchangeably. And then verse 5. I love the last line of verse 5. On whose dear arms, the tree's arms so widely flung, the weight of this world's ransom hung, the price of humankind to pay, and spoil the spoiler of his prey. Now, you notice spoiler is capitalized, and that's because he's using it as a reference to Satan, right, to the devil. The spoiler, in other words, describing Satan as the one who spoiled God's plan for humanity by tricking and tempting Adam and Eve into disobeying God and therefore bringing sin and death into the world. Well, now Jesus spoils the spoiler's plan, and the evil one who had seen us and acted on us as his prey, right? God has now set us free from his trap. It's a beautiful image. And then lastly, O cross, our one reliance, hail. This is verse 6. Now, the word there in Latin is spes, which really reliance is okay, but the word really means hope, right? Our one hope. And that's a really important message, especially for today, Good Friday. Is the cross of Jesus in my life my one and greatest and truest hope? Is it what gives me hope in my life? That I know that Jesus has gone all the way to death for love of me, and that through his cross I now can be saved and brought one day into the glory of heaven. That's our hope. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the world to come. And that world to come has been bought for us at the price of Jesus' blood, which he shed on the tree of the cross. God bless you. Act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.